the voice of the Old Kings, Corey Graham, joins us again. Corey, a heck of a weekend for the Old Kings.
Yeah, Jason, it was a nice weekend. Obviously, the big win on Saturday, which I don't think anybody suspected. And then, going down on Sunday, that was a hard-fought game from start to finish. And, Edmonton, to come out on top with 4 points on the weekend and take over top spot. Not bad at all.
The Saturday night game, Corey, we'll start there first, I guess. A real dominating performance by the Oil Kings. What impressed you / surprised you the most in that game?
They got into penalty trouble early when Reid Petrick got that 5-minute major for a hit in the offensive zone. And, they killed that off. And that's kind of been the story of this team as of late. When they're in Prince George last weekend with that comeback win as well, they penalty killing early in the hockey game was key to them. They killed penalties early in the game, and like they did Saturday, they got rid of the penalty trouble. And they had a couple real close looks at goals where they went upstairs a couple times to double check on things, but they finally able to get on the board, and they really never looked back, Jason. They got up 5-0 in that game and really were cruising over the Hitmen. They've had some lopsided games against Calgary this year, kind of either way, which is a bit surprising when you look at how close these two teams stack up. But I think just the way they really sort of just kept their foot on the pedal till late in the third period when Calgary got a few to kind of close the gap a little bit. But I thought Edmonton really controlled the game Saturday, and it was a real nice performance at home for sure.
Then they go into Calgary, and it wasn't a great second period for the Oil Kings. I was listening to broadcast. I was driving around the city, and but they got a big goal from Samuelson late. Just talk about the Samuelson-Moraz connection. He had 2 points, including the overtime winner, and how maybe the big bodies on a second of a back-to-back game were able to hold on a little bit better and have an advantage due to their size.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at what Samuelson and Moraz have done together, and throw Reid Petrick in there too, although he's suspended right now for that hit. Those three as a trio have really been hard to play against. They're tough for anybody to contain. And I think, Henrik Samuelson right now is playing some of the best hockey I've seen him play, where it's almost like he just realized how strong he is and how physical he can be when he'll have two or three guys, it seems like, Jason, on his one arm and his other hand on the stick, and he'll work around and find guys. And Mitch has been a guy that's benefited from that and also proved that he can play that way as well. He's been hard on the forecheck. He's been physical. He and Greg Chase went at it all weekend long, which is something you love to see. And, Petrick's also, he just came off an 8-game point streak. He's already matched his career high. And, with him out of the lineup with suspension, they threw Brandon Baddock up there, and he's another guy at 6'3" and big and physical. So, you go from facing that Lazar line with Pollock and Kolda, where, it's not a huge line by any stretch of the imagination. Then if you can shut that down, all of a sudden you get the Samuelson unit coming at you. It's tough to contain when there's such different looks, I think, in the top two lines for Edmonton right now.
Corey Graham joins us. Corey, talk about Greg Chase for Oiler fans. Of course, a seventh-round pick, and right now is looking like a steal in the seventh round. I think he has the 12th most points of any player drafted in 2013. He did have 2 goals and assist in that loss on Saturday night, and was engaged with Moraz the whole time. Just talk about his game, how it's evolved from last year to this year, and where do you see him going moving forward?
Yeah, obviously, Jason, he's kind of up the offense clearly from last year, and I think he's been a guy that you're worried he could score anytime he's out there. And I'll tell you, man, he plays his role to a T. I know all the Oil Kings players talk about him after the game, about what he's doing out there. And, just from watching the game, man, he's frustrating to watch away from the play when you see him do things, sticking guys. I mean, after the Oil Kings scored the tying goal, the Samuelson goal, he speared Mitch Moraz in the middle of the ice, and, the linesman jumped in, and all of a sudden his gloves came off. But you love that if he's on your team. I think he's doing exactly what you need to do to get under the skin of the other team. And, we talked about this before, too, I think a couple months ago, about, at the next level, you need to have that offense in your back pocket. And, Guy Flaming and Jason Strudwick kind of discussed it. He's sort of the Darcy Tucker type, where he put up big numbers as a junior player, and then, in the NHL, maybe that's not his role, but he still can score when he needs to be and sort of be that agitator. And I'll tell you, man, just from watching him over the weekend, he's got the agitation to a key.
Well, he has that part of it, and when you throw in the stats and the offense, because you can't become a third and fourth line guy in the NHL if you can't score at the junior level, right? It just doesn't happen. So this is a guy who's going to score 35 goals this year, right? So that with that agitating pest style, which a lot of guys just don't want to play, that could make him very valuable in a few years for the Oilers.
Yeah, and it's not like he's being forced to play that way. I think he just loves playing mm-hmm. that way, which is, I think, exactly what that team's been lacking for a long time, and with the Oilers, and obviously a few years away, clearly for a guy like Chase, but as a seventh round pick, I think here's a guy that's legitimately has a shot to be one of those bottom six pests in the National Hockey League, and like you mentioned, he can score, so you have to be able to score when you get your opportunities at that level. So it's really, you look at a guy in the seventh round, it's kind of a flyer pick, but. There's definitely an upside and potential for this guy to sort of progress and make the steps up the ladder here.
Afternoon game tomorrow on TSN 1260. The Hockey Hookie Oil Kings hosting the Brandon Wheat Kings. Tell me a little bit about the Wheat Kings. Currently, I think, in fifth place.
Yeah, they're a big offensive team. They scored the second most goals in the Eastern Conference. They've also allowed a ton, too. So I think you're going to see some fireworks tomorrow between two teams that can put the puck in the net. And, Brandon's led by the Quenneville brothers, of course, out of Edmonton, David and Peter, and they got a couple Edmonton goalies in net as well, and Curtis Honey and Jordan Paferni. So some Edmonton connections there, and Ryan Pollock, the big defenseman mm-hmm. drafted by the New York Islanders. So I really like Brandon's team this year, maybe more next year when they acquired Ryan Pilon from Lethbridge early in the year, and he's a top-ranked prospect for this upcoming draft, next year's draft, I guess. So I like kind of the way they built their team here over the years to be competitive and sort of stay in the mix. So I think you'll see some fireworks at Rexall tomorrow morning.
Ryan Pollock's a defenseman, Corey. Seen him lots. Very impressed by this guy. It's funny. We were talking earlier about drafting, and rarely is the best defenseman taken first in any draft class. There's obviously exceptions, but usually doesn't happen. This Pollock kid could, he's a hell of a player. He can skate.
Yeah, he can skate, and he's got a bomb on the point. I mean, I don't think there's a kid that shoots harder in this league right now than he does. And, just watching him stand back there, and, Brandon's power play clearly goes through him a lot, and they got the best power play in the league. So, he's fun to watch, and, he plays a ton for that team. And, you look at what the Islanders have done. You talk about drafting defensemen. The year they drafted Reinhardt, it was all D-men that round. And, you look over around the league, there's a lot of guys with New York Islander ties on their draft cards already. So, I think they're going to have a defense to be reckoned with in the years to come here.
Corey, what time is puck drop tomorrow?
Puck drop, 11:30 in the morning, so I got to set the alarm tomorrow morning for sure.
Yeah, well, don't sleep in. We'll be tuning in.
All right, Jason. Thanks, bud.